say who's playing?
Yeah.
You know, this is always a big game, regardless of what the heck's going on in football. But to have these set of circumstances is almost surreal.
For sure.
I mean, it's never had, what, since 1964, it's never happened that they're both undefeated and both ranked inside
correct.
The top ten. We've had both circumstances,
right,
but not together.
That's right. In 64, Michigan State was 1-1. Michigan was 2-0, so they weren't even undefeated, but they were both ranked in the top 10.
Right.
And in 53, going back before that, again, they were both ranked in the top 10, I believe, and but they were both 1-0 when they played. They played early in the season. So we've never had the records like this, the drama like this. Both teams 7-0. Both teams played some pretty good football, winning in very different ways.
Right.
Both have, you know, pretty good defenses. Michigan State might have a more dynamic offense. Michigan has a more consistent offense. Both can run the ball. This could be fun.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, for it, like you said, to be this far into the season and both teams in the top 10 undefeated like this, I mean, it couldn't set a better stage.
No, you know, when we talked about it, when we looked at the schedule, we went over the schedule, what we thought we would be. I thought there was a good chance Michigan would show up at this game 7-0. I don't think anybody thought that Michigan State would be there.
We went through the whole schedule, remember? And I was going win, loss, win, loss. Yes. I had them about four wins. You know, shame on me. My goodness. I give Mel Tucker credit. That guy's done a good job as coach of that French program.
He has.
Not to put any stain on this, Rich, but, you know, the win-loss record of the teams that Michigan and Michigan State have beaten is 4-17.
Correct. That's right.
But on top of the fact that, you know, people going like, Ohio State is great. Well, Ohio State hasn't beaten anybody anyway. So this is just the kickoff to a round robin of pain that's going to happen here in the Big Ten. Penn State is heading into Columbus for what looks to be a serious beatdown. But we'll find out if that Buckeye offense really has what is going on, because that Penn State defense is for real.
Yeah, they got numerous athletes all over the place, and Ohio State with that vaunted, they have a great running game. The receivers, that freshman quarterback's playing really well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, everybody's looked good against Maryland and Rutgers.
Yep. Thus far.
You make a really good point, JC, about the teams that Michigan and Michigan State have played. Michigan State hasn't beaten a team. They won at Miami. They won at Nebraska. Neither team has a winning record.
No.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, they played some decent football.
But again, when you set these schedules up years in advance, you're hoping that, of course, you have no idea what these teams will be like. You know, who thought Wisconsin, who's starting to play better now, but they went through a heck of a struggle.
They're a 3.5-point favorite at home against number 7 or number 8 Iowa.
And they're going to win.
They probably will win. I like the under of that game is 36.
Yeah, it's going to be a 9-7 game.
I bet the over.
You bet the over?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. I'm just saying. I think that, you know, some of those games have been. I mean, the we all thought that under for the Iowa Penn State was a lock, and we were way
that's
over.
Right. That's right.
And
that's
Wisconsin's right. Starting to move the ball a little bit. Plus, Iowa's missing their best defensive safety as an All-American. Same thing that's going on in Notre Dame. I'll watch out for them.
That kid's phenomenal.
That guy's going to be like the second or third guy taken in the draft. But we are going to dedicate a lot of time to Friday face-off about Michigan State, but I ended up interviewing Rich Eisen on Wednesday. Rich is anchoring the noon to 3 portion of this. I know, Rich, you listen to him quite a bit.
Yeah, I do listen to him, yeah.
I'm kind of glad we replaced Jim Rome with him. It's a completely different show.
That's a good call, by the way.
It was.
Well, actually, before we started the interview, I asked Eisen asked me about that, and I said, well, you know, I was a clone. He goes, I was a clone, you know, but how long can you run that shtick? I mean, Rome's been doing that since, you know, the late 80s when he called Jim Everett Chris Everett.
Right.
Yeah, numerous times.
Yeah. But anyways, so I had a rather lengthy conversation with Rich Eisen. He's a Michigan grad, and he had some very interesting things to say about this game. So we're going to play this right now.
This will be fun.
It will, absolutely.
I'm all in.
Well, that explains a lot about how you are
on the air. You've got a fantastic sense of humor. You're really good with your guests. You get a lot of fantastic
comedian
guests every day.
At U of M.
Like you said,
exactly.
Pop culture.
I did not know
sports,
that.
But you did circle around to Michigan, and it is one of the biggest Michigan-Michigan State games ever. Do you still love U of M football?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm so, you know, like, the word lucky that I used earlier in this conversation, I've been lucky to do this now for a quarter century, this being, on some form of a national broadcast. And through all those years, certainly on SportsCenter, you really can't wear your fandom flag.
Right.
So one by one, teams that I grew up rooting for and loving or have a passion for, fall by the wayside. But and certainly now that I'm a father of three and trying to, set examples, very few teams emotionally affect me with a win or a loss. But there are still three teams that affect me emotionally with a win or a loss. And I know I'm probably going to lose much of the audience here. Yankee baseball is one. And the others are Michigan football and Michigan basketball, where I'm legitimately affected by a win or a loss. And Michigan football might be number one overall out of all the three that I just mentioned. When I went to Michigan from 86 to 90, I was there for my first quarterback. My freshman year was Jim Harbaugh. I remember standing outside the ticket office on State Street and watched a car pull up, small car, and out popped Jumbo Elliott and Jim Harbaugh to go, collect some tickets at the ticket office or walk into at the time what was the athletic building. This is way before Schembechler Hall existed.
Right.
I just remember seeing that and being starstruck. And that's when I got exposed. I'm a native New Yorker, so really didn't pay much attention to Big Ten football or certainly Michigan until I got into the school. And from 1986, it started a love affair, that went from the year that I graduated for the Michigan Daily, student newspaper. I covered the football team my senior year. It was Bo's last season.
Yeah.
When he retired, right after the Ohio State week and then lost the Rose Bowl game to Junior Seau and USC, and Bo called for a fake punt. Mr. 3 yards in the cloud of dust, goes out with a fake punt that got called back to holding, and then 15 more yards on top of it because Bo threw his headset down so hard he nearly knocked him over. I was there for that in the Rose Bowl. Then Desmond Howard came along, fell in love with him.
Yep.
Charles Woodson and Brian Greif and Hutch and those guys. I can go on and on. So that's my answer to your question about love of Michigan football.
I was a season ticket holder for 25 years. I spent a lot of time on campus. I was at Western playing basketball, but I hated it there. And I know exactly how you feel. I'm glad to hear that. Did you, I know you were a Phi Kappa, a Pi Kappa Phi. Did they play the UFER records before on Saturday morning?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I learned all about Michigan and playing Euchre and all that stuff. I was very, I came in to Michigan, with my thick New York accent, which still comes out if you cut me off in traffic, and learned it's not soda, it's pop, it's not sprinkles, it's Jimmy's, and
right.
It's not sneakers, it's tennis shoes, and then, I would go back to New York and then set foot into the roadway and nearly get run over because, where I'm from, they don't stop for you just because you're a pedestrian setting foot in traffic. Like they do in Michigan, so
it was
an incredible experience being exposed to the Michigan way of life, and I love it. My kids know the fight song. They also know not to bother Dad on Ohio State Day because I'm in a bad mood. All that stuff. Certainly in recent years, moved into a house here in Los Angeles a few years ago that was. Owned previously by a Michigan State grad. Remember walking through the house, loved it so much, but then I saw him with pictures with Magic Johnson and Tom Izzo, and I'm like, oh, God. And ever since I bought this house, Michigan football has taken a turn down, so I'm thinking of, like, Poltergeist before Saturday's game, having this somebody come in and try and clean the house full of ghosts or whatever. Maybe it's me, I don't know, but I'm taking all precautions for this big one.
Well, you know, you had, I was looking at the years you were at Michigan, and they beat Ohio State 3 of the 4 times. You got to bring some of that magic back here, Rich.
I got to tell you, man, I mean, you know, the Rose Bowl, my first Rose Bowl, we lost to Arizona State.
Right.
And a quarterback named Jeff Van Raphorst, I think was his name, or Jim, or whatever. But, you know, Harbaugh lost, and, you know, the reason why that was such a big loss is because Ohio State thought, let's get the guy who beat Michigan in the bowl game, and they hired
John
Cooper,
Yep.
who was the coach that day. Right, and so Earl Bruce, the hat, got bounced, and they hired, you know, John Cooper, and that's why I keep telling all these Ohio State fans, all these millennials that, you know, that are in my face all the time, it's cyclical. It's just that this has been a very long cycle.
Yes.
That I would love to have end. It's been too long a cycle. You know, we'll take it one at a time. Personally, I think the way that Harbaugh has set this team up this year and the way that they run the ball, first, second, third, they're kind of built to win a game like Saturday, right? I'm genuinely concerned about Ohio State, but there's zero reason to overlook Michigan State for all the obvious reasons,
right?
And I'm nervous, or as my kids who are 13, 10, and 8, they use the word nervous-sighted, which is a mixture of nervous and excited. So I'm nervous-sighted for this game for Saturday.
There's no doubt. I mean, I'm right with you. I'm a true blue Michigan fan for, you know, since I don't even know. I tell you, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me is I was on a private plane with Bo Schembechler, and I had a fantastic conversation with him, and then he ended up signing my book. So, you know, that's one of the most prized possessions I have. So I understand your complete love for Michigan here. And I wouldn't count out a possible victory over Ohio State, but you're right. We got to get to Michigan State first.
Please.
What about?
Oh, come on. It's more than that, too, man. It's more than that, too. I mean, there's Indiana right before Ohio State, which has, you know, I mean, any Michigan fan knows that there's zero guineas on a Michigan football calendar. There never is. And I know we're always accused of being obnoxious or arrogant, but there is reason for it, which I know is the most arrogant reason thing you can say, but it's true. Like, literally, Michigan gets everyone's best shot every time.
Yep.
Always a team that hasn't had a good season can make their bones right before the end of the season in front of whatever recruits that they've got coming up for the next year to say, hey, at least we got that pelt against Michigan on the wall. And the Big Ten knows it, too.
Yep.
It's just, look, I mean, how many schools play every year? Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State. Not even Ohio State plays Michigan State and Penn State every year. And then every year you see Wisconsin thrown in there. The one thing that's actually missing from the usual Michigan schedule right now is the game at Iowa, which always seems to happen at night. You know, I mean, so it's always the toughest schedule in the Big Ten. Never isn't. And always, you know, obviously Ohio State's now, over the last 10, 15 years, learning what it's like to get everyone's best shot every time.
Yeah.
It's just kudos to them that they absorb it and then deal out a bigger blow to their opponent in Ohio State. And obviously I'd love for Michigan to get to that level.
Well, they'll get back to that level. It's, you know, what I don't know if you've seen this observation, Rich, or not, but I think Harbaugh figured out some things after last year is that his passion for Michigan, like Bo instilled in him, doesn't work on the kids that he recruits. So he brought in a whole new coaching staff. He coaches the staff, and the staff coach the kids.
You know what? He's built a house of football fun, or whatever the headline of the Sports Illustrated article that came out this week said, which is great. It's great. Look, it all just comes down to this, and it's the way it is. Either have a quarterback in the game of football, or you don't. That's it.
Yeah.
Either you have somebody at the most important position in team sports who can be multidimensional and game changing and generationally excellent, or you don't. And the college football programs that have the consistently difficult to defend quarterbacks, Heisman Trophy caliber quarterbacks, are the ones that rise to the top.
Yep.
And, you know, Ohio State has had that. Say what you will about their pro prospects, and I do remind everybody all the time that there is one quarterback in the history of the NFL that has
laughed. Yeah. No doubt about it.
That guy went to Michigan. And so, you know, but say what you will at the next level, but at the collegiate level, Ohio State with Terrell Pryor in the year that they won it, you know, with Tressel, and then, you know, obviously with Justin Fields and with Cardale Jones, they've had the transformational quarterback, and they have the pipeline to do it. Dwayne Haskins coming in as a backup in the middle of a game in the Big House and dominating.
Right.
I mean, they've had the quarterbacks. And Jim Harbaugh, you know, as much as I love him, and he knows this himself, being a tremendous quarterback himself.
Yep.
He hasn't had the QB. And that's the thing about Cade, you know, about McNamara, is he has had the moxie, and he has had the grit, and he has had the smarts. And he has avoided, with the exception of the Nebraska game, the crushing turnover.
Right.
And as long as you don't turn the ball over and you let the running game do it and the defense falls out, you will win more than most. The issue with that is what happens when you take on a team that does beat your defense and does put points on the board because they're just impossible to stop. I think, as you could tell, I'm describing Ohio State.
Yeah.
What happens then? What happens if Michigan State does turn Michigan over and they do have some short fields and they do put points on the board? That's why I think you see J.J. McCarthy creeping in under center and in shotgun every now and then, because I think Jim knows deep down there's big playability that this kid has with his legs and certainly with his arm.
Yep.
And that may be necessary to get through to the end of the day against the states of Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State. And that's what makes the next few weeks really intriguing.
Yeah, it's going to be a great few weeks left in the Big Ten. Everybody playing everybody. I'm glad to hear how enthusiastic you are about it. You know, the one thing that Jim would love to have a All-American tight end. It would really button up this offense.
Yeah.
That's what they're missing, too.
Well, he's got a tight end named All, which is, you know, got to be good enough, you know? So that's short of it. Maybe All could put the All in All-American. And what they do have right now is the best punting kicking tandem I've seen Michigan have since I started following in '86. I mean, their special teams are really special. And so you add that to a run game and defense, and that's how you wind up, you know, knocking on the door of the top five, which I imagine they would bust through if they beat Michigan State. You know, certainly since, as we all know, the first time they've ever faced each other, both 7-0, and last time, that they've both been undefeated this late since 63 or something like that.
64,
and
yeah.
I'm genuinely fired up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very excited, and I'm particularly excited I've gotten all this off my chest, because on a national show, you know, my God, shut down all this Michigan talk right off the bat. You know, as you can tell, I'm locked in and hope for the best between now and, you know, Thanksgiving weekend.
You know what? You are obviously pinned in on this football team, which brings my heart joy. Now, we're going to play this interview on Friday Face Off, and one of my co-hosts, Keith Gave, is a huge Michigan State fan, so I'm sure when we are done playing the interview, I'm going to get lambasted. Well, that's nice. You bring in Eisen. So who do I get to bring in?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I don't think Michigan State has anybody on my level, broadcasting-wise. So you win. What's your colleague's name?
Keith Gabe. You might know him. He was the Red Wings beat writer for the Detroit Free Press.
Sure.
Ever.
Oh, Keith. Oh, okay. So
Keith Gabe.
Keith. Gabe. Say it again.
Keith Gabe.
Okay. All right. So Keith is his name, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this could be a drop, and I hope it doesn't come back to bite us. Okay, here we go. Keith, go Blue.
Well, Rich, I know you gave us more time than you already...
There you go, guys. So we will put that up on the podcast. I cut out the first 6 minutes about his radio program and about the NFL Network. He had nice things to say about work. Mariucci being from Northern Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing he said to me, he goes, I call it Traverse City, not Traverse.
Okay, good. All right. He's in automatically.
Yeah, he's in automatically. So there you go, Keith. I go ahead.
No. That was good. It's really what heartens me is to see these guys come from a place like New York City to here in the Midwest and kind of buy into the whole package like he did. You know, he obviously fell in love with Michigan and appreciated all of our customs and traditions and fell in love with a great football program, no question about it.
99% of the time, you know, you go off to college, especially if they have a big-time athletic program, and those teams never leave you.
Yeah, it pulls you in.
I mean, Rich is that way about the Chips.
Yep.
Let the chips fall where they may. What the hell happened on that kick?
Yeah.
What was that, Rich?
I have no idea. I mean, JC, I watch it, and I'm just like, what in the world is going on?
Do you know what we're talking about?
No.
Go ahead.
What was the
Northern Illinois Central Michigan game.
It was a one-point game.
No time left. Chippewas getting ready to kick a field goal, and then the Northern Illinois coach called the timeout to ice the kicker.
Right. And then, and the kicker is usually he's a pretty decent kicker. And
then they thought that they blew the whistle again to ice him again, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And the ball was snapped, and it was kind of the holder wasn't ready either. The holder got the ball, and the kicker just walked past the ball.
Oh, man.
It's all over. You know.
Right, yeah, just because, again, he thought he heard a whistle.
Goofy.
So he's not ready. He's just almost like...
Goofy plays of the week, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we will get back to our conversation about Michigan State, really breaking down the game a little bit, what we think is going to be important and not. We will still touch on pro football as well. Keith will get a little bit in on hockey and the troubling circumstances going on the last couple of days. And we will have high school football playoff matchups as well. A very busy morning on Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. Keith, how's the fishing?
How's the fishing? I haven't been out in a while. I haven't been out.
I know you were writing down some notes.
No, I just want to say, Rich Eisen made a point of talking about the kicker punter combination that Michigan has this year being the best he's seen in a long time. I remember covering the team in '97 when they won the national championship. They had a real good punter kicker combination then to help them win the national championship. I don't know. I don't remember either name, but I do remember their punter came out of the stands and made the team. The year before, this guy, I can't remember his name, but he's standing up in the cheap seats way up, and the Michigan punter was having a hell of a time.
Right.
And the kid's up there going, I can punt better than that. So he somehow got himself a tryout with the team. They gave him a set of pads, and he became their punter. And he might have led the Big Ten that year. So,
well, it certainly helps your defense when you play the type of defense that Michigan is playing now to not have bad field position.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Showing up in that Nebraska game, Michigan had great field position that whole time, and Nebraska had horrible field position the whole time.
Yeah, it changes the whole dynamic of the game at times, you know, when you have effective kicking.
Doesn't seem
so,
to
Rich,
do much
what,
for the
Rich,
Lions.
What do you see happening tomorrow?
You know, I mean, I really like what Rich Eisen brought up in some of those things. You know, the Cade McNamara, he's a good, solid quarterback. There's still times I wish he could throw the deep ball better and things like that, because I see what J.J. McCarthy can do, and that kid's if McCarthy is showing up in practice better and all that, he has the arm talent to make every throw. He's a really good athlete. I would like McNamara on those read options at times to take. He hands it off almost every time instead of keeping it himself and getting around the end at times. You need to do that just to keep the defense honest at times. But overall, I think it's a really hard fought, just like a normal Michigan-Michigan State game. But I do believe Michigan will win a close one. I mean, close.
That's how I see it too. I think it's going to come down to the last possession. And if the spread is 3.5 right now, I like Michigan State and the points in one of those 24-23 or 21-20 games, something like that. They're going to give us a good game tomorrow.
Well, the turnovers are going to be a huge factor.
Sure.
They always are.
Yeah, they always are. But, I mean, look at Michigan hasn't turned the ball. Michigan's turned the ball over twice. One of them was a meaningless turnover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they're like sixth or seventh in turnover margin. Now, Thorne's been pretty good with the ball.
Yeah.
But he hasn't really been under pressure at all. So this is going to be the first pass rush he's faced all year.
Yep.
If Michigan can bottle up Walker, this has the smell of a beatdown. I don't know if they'll be able to do that, because the way Michigan State's mix of offense is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They can run the ball, and then you got those wideouts going out.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to stop. Now, again, like we said in the first segment, who have they played? You know, they've run up some huge scores on some pretty pathetic defenses.
Yeah.
So this is certainly the best defensive team that State has seen, and this is certainly the best offensive team Michigan has seen so far.
Right.
And then, you know, can State bottle up the running game? Because if Michigan can run the football, people were even worried about Nebraska. It took them a little while. They ran the ball against Nebraska. Michigan can run the football.
You just mentioned two huge ifs. If they can contain Kenneth Walker, and if Michigan can run the ball. Those are two big ifs.
And you don't think Michigan's going to be able to run
the ball? I think both teams are going to be able to run the ball.
And that's the thing. Walker and Michigan State is looking at this. I think Walker sees it as an opportunity to really catapult him into serious Heisman Trophy contention. If he has a big game on this noon kickoff, you know, on a nationally televised game as big as this is, this changes the dynamic of everything for him and the Spartans.
Well, we'll find out a lot of things about both of these teams. You know, when the season started, the biggest weakness on paper of this Michigan State team was their offensive line. They've managed to block fairly well, and Walker is, what is he, like fifth or sixth in the nation in ground gaining. We'll see if they can block Michigan's line.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
and,
right.
And it'll be interesting to see what McDonald has dialed up. I would imagine if I were the D coordinator that John Ross would just be keyed on Kenneth Walker no matter what. If that's the way it is, Walker's in for a long day because Ross is the real deal.
Yep. And it might come down to that. Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll take him. You know what? Whatever else you guys do.
You just worry about that
guy.
Shadow him.
He's
everywhere.
The difference.
Yeah.
To me, he's the difference. If like you said, Rich, Walker has a big game, State wins almost assuredly.
Yeah.
If Michigan can run the football, keep the clock, that's where it's all at. So that it's kind of a parallel. A little bit, we just mentioned Penn State, Ohio State. I think this is by far and away the best defense that Ohio State has. I don't think there'll be a lot of scoring in the first half, but how long will that Penn State defense be on the field,
right?
And how much do they run out of gas in the second half?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, Anything else, Keith? You got? You didn't give us. You got the same prediction. Michigan wins.
I think Michigan wins narrowly. Yeah, okay. I do. I like to see the opposite happen, but if I were put a gun to my head, I'll take Michigan in a very narrow victory.
Well, only because that for the first time ever in my lifetime, Michigan State maybe has even ascended the Ohio State game because of what happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michigan State's in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. I think that Michigan is coming into this game not thinking anything about little brother or anything else. Every play, we're going to hit you as hard as we possibly can, and I think there's a potential here that Michigan wins.
Big.
Not big, 10, maybe two touchdowns. Like you said, the turnover is going to be a huge factor as well. But,
this is going to be a really hard-hitting football.
Very, oh, yeah.
And you know what the best thing is, or the best/worst thing is, there's going to be a lot of bummed-out people after this game.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
That's why we pay attention.
Right. Oh, exactly. Yep.
The best part about it is, Rich, is like when you go to the grocery store on Sunday and whoever won has got all their gear
that's
on.
That's exactly
they
right.
Got their
you see guys, from, you know, that actually had to go down to their basement and pull their Michigan State
that's
gear
right.
out.
Right.
That's
right.
I'm like, what year did
you
they
see,
say
you see vintage yes, that's
86
right.
Rose Bowl.
and they're pushing the cart, not even looking where they're going. They're looking for other people so they can mention, hey, how about that game yesterday? You know what I mean? Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's fun to walk by those people who go green, man.
Yeah,
go green.
Oh, exactly.
Yep.
All right, when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we'll mention the unseemly nature or unseemly story about the sexual harassment in the NHL, and talk about the Wings as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll get to the high school football playoffs. All that and more here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey.
Network. Michigan versus Michigan State going through final preparations as their game is now hours away instead of days. The 12 noon kickoff will end with one team going to 8-0 and the other being handed their first loss of the season. Wolverines defender Aiden Hutchinson knows the rivalry extremely well and the way these games go.
It's just nastier than any other game. It's that rivalry, like dudes just want to destroy the guy across from them on both sides. It's really going to be a battle of will.
The Red Wings will face the first-place Panthers tonight at LCA, Florida just losing their coach Joel Quenneville, who resigned in the wake of an investigation into the Blackhawks sexual assault allegations where he used to coach, where a different coach abused one of his former players. Detroit will host face-off at 7 o'clock tonight. And high school football playoffs begin around the state this evening. District semifinals will start play with state finals at Ford Field less than a month away on the weekend of November 26th. Chris Villar, Michigan News Network.
The Heat and Warmth Fund
Get
for
fired
Raw
up with
Pistons
on basketball on Up North Sports Radio, sponsored in part by St. Ambrose Cellars in Beulah. All you need is love. stambrose-mead-wine.com. Detroit Pistons basketball right here on Up North Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio. Brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne, Rich Calkins, Keith Gave in studio. And Keith, I don't know if you had heard about this story before it broke. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You'd never brought it up before. And
no, it's been making some headlines in the last year or so. But we were all waiting for the other shoe to drop with the results of this investigation. And it dropped this week, and a lot of heads are rolling. To localize this national story of sexual harassment by a video coach.
Sexual assault.
Assault. Yeah. It was an assault. That's right. A young guy, John Doe, for a long time now, we know he was Kyle Beach, a 11th overall draft pick, a pretty good young prospect.
Right.
And he was abused by this video coach. The results have been amazing. Stan Bowman, Scotty's son,
right,
who was the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks for about 18 years.
Long time, yeah.
In that franchise, he resigned this week. The Florida Panthers are in Detroit tonight to play the Red Wings without their coach, Joel Quenneville, a Hall of Fame coach who may have had trouble getting in the Hall of Fame now. He resigned last night, late last night. So they're coming into town 7-0, by the way, the best team in the NHL, with an interim coach. And this kid, Kyle Beach, has come forward. He's doing interviews. He's trying to raise awareness of this stuff that's going on. It's an ugly story.
In my understanding, Keith, this coaching staff, the general, all of the administration were made aware of this when the Blackhawks were on their way to a Stanley Cup.
In 2010, it kind of broke within the team the night before the Stanley Cup Finals were to begin. They had a big meeting, and they said, This is a distraction. You know, we can't deal with this right now.
We'll deal with this afterwards.
They went off at three and won the Stanley Cup 3 weeks later, and then they brought the guy in and told him he had to leave. But
after he got his ring,
that's the thing.
His name is on the cup.
This kid watched as this guy who abused him is being invited back for the Stanley Cup celebration. His name is on the Stanley Cup. He got the guy's name is Brad Aldridge. He got his name on the Stanley Cup, and he got a day with the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
You know, and here's the thing, Joel Quenneville wrote him a glowing letter of recommendation so that he was able to go to a program in northern Michigan where he abused another kid, and that kid, a high school kid, is suing the Chicago Blackhawks and everybody involved because there's no way this guy should have been.
No, I never heard that part of the
story.
This is a really, really ugly story, and it ain't over by a long shot.
And that's why you have to take care of issues like this, do your immediately, because it's to stop someone else from potentially getting hurt. And then, like you said, Keith, now it's in our backyard.
And that's what Kyle Beach, the victim here, is saying. I'm watching all this happen with this guy, you know, celebrating, you know, and so on. What about me? You know, he was called essentially a distraction, and his NHL career. He had so much to deal with.
He was playing in Germany now?
Yeah, he's playing in Europe. He's been playing in Europe for a long time.
He's self-medicated for a long time.
That's right. He's been dealing with issues ever since.
Who was the Red Wing?
Graham. You're talking about Sheldon Kennedy.
Yeah.
Theo
Fleury.
Abused by their junior coach out in Swiftcurrent. It's a really bad situation. And there's another guy who was an assistant general manager in Chicago at the time, Kevin Cheveldayoff, who is now the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know how he's going to survive this either. This is going to have far-reaching repercussions.
This is the first time I'm hearing about giving Aldridge a glowing letter of recommendation by Quenneville. That makes it look even worse than what he and then of course he goes on, because you know, by moving this guy on to another organization, it doesn't stop that person's line of thinking and what they're going
to
do.
No, he went up to the UP and got a job there, and it's the same stuff all over again. Sickening.
It is, absolutely.
Well, more to come on that story. On the ice.
How about the Wings?
Yeah.
4-2-1.
Yeah.
Down 2-0 the other night, and they come all the way back, tie the game, and a spectacular goal.
As predicted here.
Did you?
Plus 185 in that game.
That's good. That's a good call.
Against a good team. Washington Capitals.
In Washington, where they haven't played well.
As we were texting, the Capitals did not play a stellar game. They looked very late. I kind of thought it's an older squad. And they were coming off back-to-back nights. The Wings hadn't played.
Yep.
So TJ Oshie got hurt in the game.
That's right.
Took off the ankle.
It was a betting opportunity.
They mentioned the age of the two teams. It was like the Capitals have like 16 players, 29 and older, and the Red Wings have like 14 players, 25 and younger.
Yeah, that's the transformation we're seeing in the Red Wings.
Yeah, there's only two guys over 30 on the team.
Right. And how about the overtime goal? Come on. Dylan Larkin's out there with the two rookies on the first shift, and Murray Sider, you know, went back and regrouped and brought around and gave it to Lucas Raymond, who nice dipsy-doodle play around a defender, got the puck to Dylan Larkin for a shot that the goaltender never saw, and they win the game. I mean, that was a...
By the way,
very heartening play.
Mo Sider, his stick looks like it's about 2 feet longer than everyone else's. I mean,
well,
he skates
6'5".
Right, and he's got those long arms, and it's just like going puck battles. He's winning a lot of those because he can get to it first with that reach. It's amazing.
And I really don't mean to, keep doing this, but I can't help it. I saw Steve Yzerman as a teenager playing in the NHL, and this kid Lucas Raymond is the closest thing I've ever seen to Steve Yzerman as a young
kid
coming in.
You're gonna put the whammy on him.
This kid is a player.
Yeah.
Well, so far you are right, and. You know, I wonder with the Bertuzzi's emergence if he's going to come to his senses and get inoculated.
I don't know about that. I don't think so. But, you know, I had a conversation.
You had it with Jimmy D.
A week ago tonight, Jimmy and I, we sat at Andiamo's in the riverfront there in Detroit, talked 3.5 hours, you know, and just talked about everything. And they're not happy about, you know, him, Bertuzzi.
Okay,
sure. They're not happy. But... And they wanted to do something, but what can they do, really? He's one of their best players.
Yeah.
What the point that Jimmy D made to his general manager, Steve Yzerman, and his coach, Jeff Blashill, is, look, we only had Bertuzzi for 5 games last year, and he was hurt, right? What if I told you we could have him for 73 games this year? We won't have him for 9, but we have a potential to have him for 73 games if he stays healthy the whole year. Would you take that? And they go, whoa, then when you put it that way,
sure,
yeah, I'll take 73 games from Tyler Bertuzzi. So let's look at it that way. Yeah, they're going to miss him in the games in Canada for sure, but they sure as hell need him in those 73 other games.
It changes your whole perspective when you look at it in a different light.
Yeah.
You know, like you, Keith, I wish you would, you know, take the shot, do some things like that. But, like you said, that's looking a glass half full mentality.
I'll tell you what, he's turned into a dominant player. He's dangerous every time he's on the ice. Back checking or, with the puck in the offensive zone, he does a lot of things to help that team.
Yeah, he really does. He's as important as anybody in the lineup.
Yes.
As far as the other team that's going right now that plays out of Little Caesars Arena, Pistons starting out exactly how they started out last year, 0-4.
Yeah.
Right.
I believe Cunningham's going to play tomorrow night, although I'm not certain of that. That's what's been talked about. He's going to be an enormous help on this squad, Rich. It's struggling to find their offense.
Right, exactly. And especially the way they start off games. I mean, the games that I've watched so far, I mean, they just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from the outside. You know, it's been rough, you know, and they purposely brought in more shooters, better shooters in theory, and it just hasn't panned out thus far.
The ball movement's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, Cunningham will change some of that because he's a distributor as well as a scorer, and because the scoring is so difficult, the Pistons are a pretty easy team to defend.
Right. Mm.
So, I mean, it's kind of a dual-edged sword there. So we'll see how much Cunningham can change what's going on. But that's all I wanted to say about the Detroit Pistons and the NBA.
Who wins?
And one thing I would point out is look out for the Golden State Warriors winning an NBA championship.
Right. I mean,
they are frighteningly good, and Klay Thompson is not in the lineup right now.
Right, yeah. Steph Curry is re-energized.
Well, the two kids that they've gotten at the very high end of the draft for the last 2 years are not superstars, but they bring a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. They crash the boards. They run the floor. You know, Draymond Green is still Draymond Green. It's a good basketball team.
Yes.
When we return here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, we'll get into the NFL season, and will we see a Lions victory? That's scary. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne, Keith Gave, Rich Calkins in studio. And, you know, Rich, this has been a pretty damn good NFL year so far.
It has been.
Unless you're a diehard Lions fan, there's been some great games.
The primetime games have been
last night, not excluded.
Really,
I mean, it's been awesome. Yeah, the across the board been highly entertaining games for sure. You know, a lot of times you'll get blowouts on these nationally televised games, and they'll just, you know, you're channel surfing. But it's really captivated, you know, football fans.
Watch out for the Packers. That defense is getting better all of a sudden.
Rashawn Gary. He is obviously, you know, he got switched to that outside linebacker in a 3-4. Took him a year or two to get adjusted to it. I tell you what, he is playing really well right now.
Yeah, their DBs are getting a little better, and they're going to have Devontae Adams back. Watch it. You know, the Packers have a pretty easy schedule, depending on how good the Vikings turn out to be. I think the jury's out on them, but, you know, the Bears and the Lions are probably going to lose their – they've already lost once each to the Packers. I'm sure they will lose once again to them. So if they stay healthy, they could end up in the Super Bowl again. There's some, you know, what is there, like four or five really great teams in the NFC, pretty much the same in the AFC. So, yeah, it's shaping up to be a pretty good season. I thought we would go through the games really quickly. We'll leave the Lions for last. The Bengals, that was kind of a surprising beatdown of the Ravens.
It was.
So do they suffer a letdown against the Jets? The Jets are horrible. I feel bad for Saleh. I don't know if I feel bad for him, but maybe he's not a head coach.
Right. And their starting quarterback got hurt, so the backup's in. And so,
I'm not surprised that he got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's not a big dude.
No.
He's, you know, trying to run and scramble out of there, and, yeah, he took a beating.
Yeah, doesn't have a lot of weapons.
Cincinnati by 10.5 on the road. Ooh. That's a lot of points
it
on
is.
The road.
Yeah, after them coming off a big win and the Jets coming off a beatdown, I probably would take the points here. In fact, I have taken the points on my Pick'em show. A great game, Tennessee-Colts. That game has been flipped, by the way. It started off as Tennessee giving the Colts of 1.5. The Colts are now giving 2 to the Titans.
Colts are playing well right now.
Really?
Isn't that what you have?
No, I have Indianapolis minus 2.5.
That's what I just said.
Oh, okay.
The game started as the Titans were the favorite.
Okay.
It's
okay.
been flipped. It's a 3-point flip in 4 days.
Wow.
Well, the Colts have got to win the game if they're going to win the division. Because if they don't, they'll have lost to the Titans twice.
Right.
And so, they, in essence, they'll be 4 games behind them in the column. So that's pretty much why they have it. But, you know, show me somebody that can stop this offense.
Yeah. I know.
You know, Tannehill, when you've got a running back like that, Rich,
Man.
It makes your job a hell of a lot easier.
So much easier because it stops the defensive line from flying up the field. I mean, it just makes everything flow so much better offensively.
The play action is a monster.
Yes.
Yeah. The Rams, 14.5 against the Texans, and I think the Rams will cover that.
At Houston, too.
Yeah,
I do, too.
Yep.
I do, too.
Browns at home, giving 3.5 to the Steelers. I like the Steelers a bunch here. I like them to possibly win outright. They're plus 160 on the betting line, but with the 3.5 points, for sure. They're coming off a bye. You know what Tomlin's record off a bye is?
No, but probably pretty good. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
Are either of the running backs going to be back for Cleveland at all? Because they were missed last game. Or the one kid, there was that kid came in and ran for 100 and some yards.
160
DeErnest,
yards.
DeErnest, someone, I never heard of him. Yeah.
DeErnest Johnson or I never heard of him either.
They're going to have their quarterback.
The backup, Case Keenum, played quarterback.
Case Keenum's going to play again.
Yeah.
And I think Chubb's back. So.
Okay.
I mean, they'll be able to run the football.
Yeah, they have a great offensive line.
Well, that's been a little nicked up as well. The Niners are given 3.5 to the Bears in Chicago. The Niners have got to win this football game.
39.5 over-under. I kind of like the over on that game.
Man,
the Bears' offense is ridiculous. How many points? I mean, the Bears' offense is like Penn State's offense.
Yeah. It's bad. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
All those people screaming for Justin Fields right now.
San Francisco's offense isn't that fabulous either, to be honest.
No, they are struggling.
I think I like the under there.
Yeah.
Big time.
So.
Yeah. The Falcons are giving 3.5 to the Panthers. This is another game here. Although the Panthers' quarterback situation is a disaster. Watch this game at your own peril.
Sam Darnold has a penchant to throw it to the opposing team.
Yeah, I guess that's turned out. It doesn't matter what jersey you're wearing or who's coaching you.
Hey, if you put a uniform on, it's coming your way.
Yeah, I was surprised that they stopped their pursuit of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Although from the you listen to those NFL insiders, Rich, and it sounds like that's because the Miami deal's a done deal.
Yeah, sounds like it.
The Bills are given 13.5 to the aforementioned Dolphins. Bills are coming off a bye.
The Dolphins are
shockingly bad.
Because they played so well last year defensively.
Should have been in the playoffs.
Good receivers, all this stuff. So really, that was a lot of people were picking them to be a playoff contender this year.
Yeah, they're the biggest disappointment. Other than the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Washington football team and the Miami Dolphins are kind of in the same bracket. People are going, well, they got a really good defense. We'll see what happens with the quarterback. And man, they can't win. Massively disappointing. The Chargers Patriots, that should be a pretty good football game.
Yes, I agree. Where is that game at?
Los Angeles.
Okay.
The Patriots are getting 4.5.
Right. 4.5 now? I had 4.
That should be an interesting game. What Belichick normally does to rookie quarterbacks, he did to Herbert last year.
Right.
I think the Chargers will be looking for payback. This is one of my bets of the day. I think the Chargers will easily cover four. Yeah,
oh,
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the Patriots are coming off of that absolute beatdown, and they're flying out west.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers have been off a week. This has smell of stomp all over it. Seahawks are a disaster. A lot of people like the Jags going into Seattle.
Getting
3.
With their one win, and
they're coming off a bye.
When you're rested and more healthy than the other team. And
I don't know, that Seattle team does not look very good without Russell Wilson.
No.
Two of my favorite coaches to dislike.
Urban?
Yeah, somebody's going to lose.
What do you mean?
I'm okay with that.
You a big Pete Carroll fan? I'm
not a Pete Carroll fan. Or Urban Meyer.
For Keith, they go in the same bracket.
Lose.
Same bracket.
Yeah, the cheaters, yeah. In another a ridiculously horrible game, the Broncos and the Washington football team. Broncos are giving 3.5 to Washington out there in Denver. That's probably the right spread. I don't care.
I'm with you.
But then the Bucs and the Saints should be a pretty damn good game.
It will.
Yes. Yeah,
it will.
Yeah, that Saints defense is for real.
Tampa 4.5.
Is for real.
Yep. Tampa -4.5. Is that what you got?
That's right.
Yep. Yep. That'll be a good game.
I don't know. Yeah. That Tampa defense is starting to look a little better.
Yeah. It always takes the last couple of years, it's taken them a little while to kind of get warmed up. And once they get clicking, they're tough to beat.
Well, who's the wideout that's missing for the Saints, Rich, who had the ankle surgery?
The kid that went to Ohio State. And he chose, by the way, the team recommended he have the surgery back in January.
Oh.
He purposely waited until, June to have it, just so that this kid's done it. He held out last year also.
He didn't want to play.
Yeah, it's this kid from Ohio State. He's a good receiver. Thomas is his last name. Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Yep, good receiver. But there's something going on there that has been causing trouble in the locker room.
Big difference
He punched a teammate a year ago also. So this kid...
Who hasn't punched a
teammate? Right, yeah, exactly.
Then the Cowboys, they keep going... I don't know why you would play Dak Prescott in this game. If he's got...
that calf strain.
Which,
as you know, can lead to an Achilles issue, and he's had those horrible ankle, even though I think it's the opposite leg. But still, if he's got truly a strained calf, you can't. You got to go with Cooper Rush, the CMU grad.
How about that? Yeah. That's a hard game to call. 2.5, Minnesota -2.5?
Yeah. At home.
At home.
But the Cowboys are coming off the bye.
Mm-hmm. Two enigmatic teams, especially Minnesota. I have no idea how to figure that team out.
Kirk Cousins is having a great year.
He's having a great, real quietly. Yeah. I mean, he's getting no pub for it, he's having a super year.
The most important thing is, can Dalvin Cook play the whole game? If Dalvin Cook plays the whole game, I mean, this is a completely different team when Cook is running the football. But the Cowboys can run it. Do you even need to throw the football?
No, that's the thing.
Other than 5 yard slants to CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
And
they get that one offensive lineman back from the PED suspension, so the line even gets stronger.
Yeah,
for Dallas.
It should be a really interesting game. And then the aforementioned beleaguered Chiefs get a break by playing the Giants.
That is a break.
Football.
Yeah.
That's a huge break for them.
because after that, their schedule is brutal.
Yeah. And Patrick Mahomes is under a little bit of taking some heat now, I think he's going to have a big game on national TV and clear that 9.5-point spread.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's a beat down as well.
Yep.
Keith, you got anything else on the on your outlook?
No, did we talk? We haven't talked about the.
Oh, you mean the Detroit Lions?
Please. I'll talk about them all you want, but don't ask me for a prediction.
Right.
I give up predicting the Lions.
No, I think the Lions will win.
I've been right.
Is it?
Years.
Yeah, their first.
I don't care what you tell me. The Lions are going
to
win. The
they've
game.
Got really. This is they have to win this game. Or there a lot a great chance late in the year. I think the last game of the year they play Green Bay, and if Green Bay has everything sewn up, they might not play into their starter. So that might be
the
only.
Well, they got the Bears coming in. They could beat the Bears. I'd have to take a look at the rest of their schedule.
There aren't a whole lot of opportunities for them to win games.
No,
and
it's got
to
be
one
here.
Of them.
This
and
is
a lot
one
of
them.
A lot of people are predicting Detroit to win this game.
Yeah.
So and they're 3.5-point underdogs at home. So
no.
I don't know.
No, as I told you, I like the Lions to win outright. Yeah. I would take them. They're plus 160 on the money line. So I think it's a reasonable bet.
Yep.
You know, so take a couple of your units and put it on the Lions on the money line, and then take the points just to make sure, because I think they cover 3.5 at home, no problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's one of my – I hate to say it because I never bet on the Lions – but it's not my bet of the day. The bet of the day is the Steelers. The Steelers getting 3.5 from a Browns team coming off the bye. Roethlisberger will have some kind of rest. They'll have had a week to prepare for that the running game.
Right.
That Pittsburgh Steeler defense is absolutely for real. So that is my bet of the week.
T.J. Watt, lighten it up.
Well, he should. They're paying him enough money, and
they,
brother went on the IR again.
I know. Yeah, I'm going to have a shoulder surgery now and maybe done for the year.
It's
so.
Too bad.
It is. Yeah, to have such a great player, like when he was at his peak, he was, you know, one of the – he was the best defensive player for years there.
What did he three-time NFL defensive
player of the year, yeah.
I know what you guys are up to next, and I just have one thing to say before I go, okay? Go Vikings. All right? Go Vikings.
Keith should stick around here. He did his homework for the high school.
Well, maybe you want to hang for a minute, but it looks like he's itching to go.
I have to be the contractor, I guess.
Okay.
Woo-la-la.
Just get some electrical work done at the house.
Oh, well, that's always important.
Always 30% more. Always.
Harrison, are you there?
I'm here. What's going on, guys?
All right. It's time for the high school pigskin preview. Jerry Coyne and Rich Calkins in studio on the phone with the great Harrison Beebe. And Harrison, here we are. The second season has begun. I'm sure you're thrilled.
You know, something special about playoffs, it really in any sport, but especially in football like we talked about last week, the fact that you know these guys had to earn their spot in the postseason, and now some of them, whether we want to defend home turf or go on the road and pull an upset, you know, that magic is in the air, and we'll see really who has what it takes to pick up some first-round wins and down the road here has what it takes to contend for a title.
Right. Yeah, for sure, Harrison. Real quick before we get into all of the local action around Northern Michigan, Jerry, I have to mention, buddy, your alma mater there, Brother Rice, they did end up with a number one seed.
I know. That shocked me.
Yeah. Well, see, again, that strength of schedule is huge this year. There were numerous three-win teams that got into the playoffs this year purely because they played such a strong schedule.
Well, what division? They're in Division
they're
three, three now.
Division
right?
three,
yeah.
Yes.
They dropped down another division, as we were talking about. They've had less and less kids in the school.
Yes.
So for Division three, they're probably pretty dangerous.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Not against Division One and Division Two teams,
right?
Teams like GC Central and Catholic Central. Yeah,
yeah, no doubt. So just had to throw that in there, Harrison, real quick.
Yeah, well, we'll see though. There's that DeWitt team that beat GC Central at the top half of the bracket in Division Three, so nothing's guaranteed quite yet.
Right.
Oh, trust me, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not
just talking their little their district right now. Those four teams. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they made the Swami's Final Four. I saw that for the Free Press breakdown of who they thought was advancing, and They do a pretty good job of breaking down the high school games in advance on the Detroit Free Press. I don't know if you get a chance to look at that or not, Harrison.
I do, yeah, and like that's I take it with a grain of salt, though, because obviously he's not watching every single team play a game. I think that you know, you're going off scores you see and, you know, probably previous season reputations, which, quite frankly, is what we all kind of consider when we factor in teams from out of our different regions every year. You know, oh, we're getting nervous because, you know, this team's there and this program is always strong come the semifinals and whatnot. But obviously some of those trends do continue year in and year out. So there's a reason teams like the St. Francis always have that reputation in the playoffs.
Sure.
So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, looking at some of those, he actually, I thought, you know, did a pretty good job this year with the Northern Michigan teams, Harrison. You know, just looking at it, you know, it was pretty spot on as far as these teams coming into these districts and, you know, like calling, like say, for example, that Gladwin-Clair game. You know, that's a game, obviously, that was played at Clair earlier. Both teams scored a lot of points, but Gladwin won it by a score. And now, obviously, Gladwin's going to host Clair because they have more playoff points and they're 9-0. But that Clair team is dangerous.
Right, yeah. And when it's a conference rivalry and a game that was that close in the regular season, I don't think it really matters who hosts it. And in the end, Clair's kind of used to the playoff feel, and
yes,
Gladwin, quite frankly, isn't. So that there's going to be something to play for that, not necessarily a guaranteed win. So that's obviously an edge that they take into this matchup.
Yeah, I totally agree, Harrison. The Clair experience in the playoffs is huge. And like you said, we're glad when it, and in the other half of that bracket, it's Kingsford and Kings Lees, the battle of the
Kings.
Us two Kings.
The Kings, yeah.
I mean, and that's
Burger King better
great
be catering now.
Yeah, Burger King is catering. There you go.
All
very
right,
good, Harrison.
Good job, buddy. Well,
which is fine with me because that's one of the games I'm going to. So if I can snag a Whopper on the way back to the station, we're in good shape.
I don't know. I try those ghost pepper nugs, buddy.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I have not tried those, but I guess if you're recommending
them. If you like them spicy,
maybe
spicy,
football
spicy
tailgate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, when they're that spicy and they're only $1.89, I tend to shy away.
Right. Yeah, you get what you pay for.
That's right. I don't know how much actual chicken is in that chicken nug. But
yeah.
What else you got, Rich?
Well, of course, let's get Division Six, Harrison, right here. A great matchup in District Two, Boyne City and Grayling. Boyne City travels to Grayling because Grayling had 3/1,000ths of a point more in playoff points.
Wow,
a point more, yeah.
How do you have 3/1,000ths of a point?
It's all broken down here, so it's.
I was told there would be no math.
I was told exactly.
Yeah.
What a matchup in
well,
that.
I mean, there's been cases in the past where teams later in the playoffs have the exact same playoff points. I remember a couple of years ago, Frankfurt played Muskegon Catholic Central in Division 8, and they had the exact same playoff points. So they had to flip a coin, you know, Texas playoff style to see who would host it. And Frankfurt ended up winning the coin toss. They lost the game. But, these points, sometimes even how big and fractioned of numbers they are, they can be the exact same.
Well, it's always nice to play at home, but Grayling did beat Boyne at Boyne in the playoffs last year. So with a lot of the same players playing from both teams, it should be a great game, Rich.
Yeah, no question about it. That's a game, again, going to be on 100.3 this evening, kickoff at 7, pregame around 6:30. But, yeah, that's going to be an absolutely great matchup. And the winner of that game will play the winner of Standish Sterling and Glen Lake. So Glen Lake down a little bit this year, but they still got 4 wins in, and they did make that number 4 seed. The number 1 seed, obviously, is Standish Sterling.
Yeah, Standish Sterling's got a good team. So whoever comes out of that Boyne-Grayling game has got their work cut out for them. And then you're heading down to Granville.
Granville, yes. Yeah, TC West traveling down to Granville, a team that they actually met last year in the first round of the playoffs. Granville winning 35-0. Also, Granville has beat West all 8 times that they've met up, and they play in that OK Red Conference. Well, they're better than OK. They're really good. So they play Rockford.
Yeah,
I
feel bad for those Grand Rapids teams that are in that conference.
Yeah, that is a brutal conference. There's no doubt about it. But it's time for TC West to turn that around.
It is, yep. They've lost two games in a row now. Coach Bond, of course, not real happy, trying to find the magic potion here. And I think you'll see a real spirited TC West Titan team come out on the field tonight. It's supposed to be wet, and TC West likes it. Bring it on. They want to run the ball.
Yeah, and you're going to see blocked punts and yeah. fake field goals, and it's going to look like the first half of the Lions
Rams
game.
It will, yes.
Who else are you focused
on? Yeah, you just hope they don't finish like the Lions. That's all.
Yes.
Harrison, who else are you focused on?
You know, I'm really excited to see maybe not necessarily the first round, but just, you know, how teams like Cadillac do this postseason. Snuck up on people last year, as we talked about several times on this show with you guys. They're going to host a couple playoff games here if they get by Fruitport tonight. And then how are they going to do in that regional round against one of those Grand Rapids teams? You know, D7, obviously St. Francis has that path where, you know, it looks pretty negotiable. So we'll have to see down the line if they do end up in that semifinal and draw Paloma Westphalia. And then that's the money game that everybody wants to see for a spot in the state title. And Suttons Bay, I tell you what, for the Norsemen to get back to a third straight state final, I know on my segment on the news last night, I picked them as my number one lock to make a return trip to the finals, but it won't be easy for them having to face the winner of Rogers City Inland Lakes in the next round.
Right.
And then after that, potentially going up against the Pickford team that won a state title a few years ago. So Suttons Bay, I think, has the chops and it is probably the favorite to make a return to the eight-player Division I state finals, but it may be the toughest road they've ever had to get through in the 3 years they're attempting to do so. So, it, you know, maybe the first round, the games are not as marquee, but, you know, that's kind of how it goes with teams earning the better playoff points and the home field advantage. But, again, you do have to prove it in that win-or-go-home scenario. And I think a lot of these teams, you know, fault them or not, maybe they definitely won't tell us, but they might be looking ahead to certain matchups that they're having coming up. And, yeah, that could prove to be, you know, the interesting storyline of these playoffs. We have the six local teams make it all the way to the semifinals or farther last year. Do we get the chance to at least duplicate that? If not, maybe see a few more teams in the finals.
Yeah, you mentioned that eight-man division, Division One, just geographically, that district number one, it's Munising faces Rudyard and Pickford versus Newberry. So they really geographically got all those teams, three out of the four, at least lumped right next to each other.
Right. Well, and they're all in the same conference, too.
Yeah.
So they've all played each other.
And they're all 7-2, all four teams in that district. Also.
There you go.
Right.
That's how the Big Ten in the East is going to turn out.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Harrison, anything else before we let you go?
You know, not really. I just, you know, hopefully the weather stays dry for us up here since I'll be out in the middle of it as well. And, I can't wait to see what goes down. It's always fun to see that one story like the Grayling a year ago that,
right.
you know, jumps up on everybody and is like, oh, this team, okay. You know, so I'm excited to see who that team is. And then I'm also, you know, even more pumped to see which one of these teams can make it to Ford Field or Superior Dome. And maybe this year we do get that one team. You know, Central Lake now is 4 years ago. We had our last football state champion in our viewing area. So hopefully this year we get another strong contention of teams putting up a fight for that one in 2021.
All right. Harrison Beebe from 7-4. We'll check in on you pregame and postgame tonight.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, bud.
I didn't hear. Did you guys? Who's Cadillac got tonight?
They Harrison said Fruitport, but I have Sparta is who I have on my list. Now again, I don't know if it's this has been updated again recently. Again, Division Four is Cadillac, and again I have them hosting Sparta. So that was 7-2 is Cadillac with 57 points. They're just 2 points out of a number one seed. On the other side of that bracket is Grand Rapids Christian and Ada Forest Hills Eastern. And so, again, I have the Cadillac playing Sparta. Again, they will be playing at Cadillac tonight.
And you have got the long drive to Grand Rapids.
I do, yep, just outside of beautiful field down there. I took a look at, of course, Google Earth and checking out their facilities. beautiful. Of course, all these places now, a lot of places have that beautiful field turf.
Electronic scoreboards.
Even Calumet way up in the Keweenaw Peninsula now, they have a field turf field. So it's incredible the amount of fundraising that goes on behind the scenes.
No doubt.
For these local communities. It's really cool to see.
Well, Rich will be broadcasting that game with Tom Devitt and JJ assisting on 106.3 FM. It'll also be streaming if you want to go to Q100-FM.com. There's a tab for both the Vikings and the Titans for streaming. Of course, as usual, 100.3 will have the Vikings-Boyne City game as well. The Michigan-Michigan State game will be on here tomorrow morning, pregame at 11 and kickoff at 12. Rich will be in here for the high school scoreboard show by Bill Marsh at 10 o'clock. You'll have the hard out.
Hard out, yes, right at 11 for the Michigan. Everyone's going to want to listen to every second of that pregame. And, again, we'll go over all the results that's going to take place tonight.
That's at 10 o'clock in the morning on Up North Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us here on Friday Face Off. And thanks to Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, where I will be tomorrow from 3 to 5 for the play-by-play promotion that they're having. So join us up there. There is a ton of great giveaways involved in that. So hopefully come by, watch the fourth quarter of the Michigan-Michigan State game and see how much you can win at the tables, the sports book, and the promotion play-by-play at Odawa Casino in Petoskey.